Take your Bible, please, and be turning with us to the book of Matthew, chapter number 6. Matthew, chapter number 6. The Bible says in the book of Matthew, chapter number 6, verse number 9, "And after this manner, therefore, pray ye," words in red, "Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, and in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." Father, we pray that you would add your blessings to the reading of your word. And Lord, would you teach us, as the disciples said, Lord, teach us how to pray. And Lord, I pray that you'd take this patterned prayer that you gave the disciples. And Lord, may it change our prayer lives for the better, in Christ's name. Amen and amen. Thank you very much, and please be seated. The Lord didn't say, pray these words. He said, pray after this manner. These words are not a mantra to be memorized and chanted, but rather they are a model, a manner in which to pray. But if you look at closely inspect the things that the Lord told us that we're to pray about, the things he told us about, and the order which he gave them, I think have a great deal of significance. And how much emphasis was put on some things and how little emphasis was put on others. Chapter number 6, verse number 9, the scripture says, "Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." So it starts out with appreciation of the person of our Father. Appreciation of the person of our Father and our parentage. The fact that we can call him Father. You realize when the Lord told us to call him Father, do you realize that brought in, he said, "I go to my Father and your Father." When he said that, friend, that was ushering in of a new dispensation. It wasn't just a new phrase, it was a new dispensation. That we were no longer, we didn't have to stand in fear and trembling like the children of Israel and know him as Yahweh and the great I Am and those things, and not come near to touch the mountain. No. Rather, we were to call him Father. And so no other people on earth have ever been able to do that or ever been instructed to do that. And so appreciation of our parentage, but then appreciation of our place. The Bible says, "Our Father which art in heaven." Well, the implication is that if our Father's in heaven, then we're going to heaven. And so hallelujah that our Father's got a place prepared for us. That's what he said. "I go to prepare a place for you." And so, hey, it'll be heaven if he's there. There's been a lot of people say, "Well, reckon where heaven's at?" And my answer is where Jesus is. Because it'll be heaven just to be where he's at. That's all it's going to take. I don't care if it's on the other side of Pluto, Venus, Mars. It don't really matter to me where it's at. As long as he's there, it'll be good. Amen? It'll be everything and more than we ever thought and ever could imagine. He said, "Our Father which art in heaven." But then he doesn't just stop with that. He ends the verse by saying, "Hallowed be thy name." So the appreciation of the person of our Father and our perspective. Yes, we're told to call him Father, but under no circumstance are we to use that in careless familiarity. And I've got a real problem with the Jesus movement. And that's all they say, just Jesus. I've got a problem with that. I believe he deserves more respect than that. I do. I believe he's you know why a lot of people don't say Lord Jesus? Because he's not. Think about what I said. You know why they don't call him Lord Jesus? Because he's not. He's not the Lord Jesus in their life. That's why they don't use his full name. That's why they don't use the titles that are given. You know, I realize people raise different ways, but we raised our children to call their aunts and uncles Aunt so-and-so and Uncle so-and-so. They never said John or Bill and Susie and Helen. No, that's not the way we taught them. Aunt Helen. I've got an 80-something-year-old aunt right now. You know, she's Aunt Helen. I got a 95-year-old aunt. She's Aunt Marie. And she'll be Aunt Marie at her funeral. She'll still be Aunt Marie. I'm not going to do that. I've never have done that. I've got more respect than that. And I think that we ought to offer that respect. Look in verse number 10. We said appreciation for the person of our Father, but look at the attention to the purpose of our Father. The Bible says, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven." He says something about God's perfecting purpose, thy kingdom come, the plan of God's purpose, thy will be done. And then he tells us about the planet, the purpose of God's planet. He said, in earth as it is in heaven. You see, there was a time that heaven was displayed on earth in the Garden of Eden and in all the perfection of mankind. But that was quickly taken away. But I want you to understand, it's going to be restored. Amen. And God will have rule and reign upon this earth for 1,000 years. Right. Somebody said, you're one of those white horse riders. Yeah, buddy. Yeah. Saddle her up, son. I'm ready. Aren't you? I am ready. I believe it. I believe it's this. I believe it's literal. I believe it's coming. I believe it's soon. There's a tribulation, but I believe we're coming back. God's going to renovate this thing, and it is going to be heaven on earth for a season, for a time. I do believe that. And the Bible says in earth as it is in heaven. And then we talked about verse number 11 being the acquisition of the provisions of our Father. Notice where they are. The Bible does give us the place, says, and the Bible does mention our physical and material needs. Give us this day our daily bread. But notice that even though they have a place, notice the portion. The Bible says, give us this day our daily bread. Notice that they're third on that line items. It's not God, gimme, 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 gimme. It's third after we've got some other things straightened out. Then we start talking about provisions. And notice that he didn't say, Lord, give me more millions from a bank account, but he said, Lord, give me my daily bread. And then he said, if you think about it, give us this day our daily bread. That's seven words. There are 66 words in the model prayer. If I did the math correct, about 89.4% of the words are spent bragging on the Lord and talking about His will be done. And seven words are talking about our needs and our possessions. In other words, 66 words to seven. About 10% of the words, give us this day our daily bread. Roughly 90% of the words are all about God's plan and God's will being accomplished. Does that give us a perspective? In other words, I think we got it backwards. 90% of our prayer are about things we need. 10% of our prayer about things that God's interested in as far as His plan about the universe and all the things. Can I say it this way? As long as material needs are kept in their right place and in their right proportion, you can have a prayer list that's a composition book full. It's okay. But understand, that's not all there is to prayer. That's not all there is. Look in verse number 11. The Bible says, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Acquittal through the pardon of our Father. Notice what the scripture says, forgive us our debts. That's how mercy is received. But then notice how mercy is reproduced. The Bible says, as we forgive our debtors. That's the plan. The more mercy you get, the more mercy you ought to give. See what I'm talking about? And the more of a scoundrel you've been, the more you ought to love scoundrels, amen? And the more mercy you ought to extend to scoundrels, just like myself. Okay, look in verse number 13. The Bible says, lead us not into temptation. Notice the phrase, lead us. Now we're going to some new territory. We're talking about the path. We're talking about, in our study in Psalm 23, the Lord, He maketh me to lay down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. Can I say that the model prayer, the pattern prayer, continues with instructions about acquiring the pathway of our Father. And the scripture says that we are to acquire that pathway through prayer. Notice what Jesus prayed. Lead us, not too hard to say, lead us. And by the way, when the Lord prayed this in chapter number 6, the Lord had just got through coming out of chapter number 4, and the scripture says that He was led of the Spirit into the wilderness, where He was tempted of the devil 40 days. It does say it. He was led of the Spirit. The Spirit led Him there And yes, it was tough. And yes, it took him down to his lowest ebb. And yes, an angel had to come and minister to him because he was so weak. I don't think he could get out of the wilderness on his own because he had not eaten in those 40 days. And because he was tempted sore. Only twice in Scripture do angels intervene in the life of Christ. One was at the beginning of his ministry in the wilderness, and the second was at the end of his ministry in a garden. And both times he had taken on the devil, I'm pretty sure. He'd taken on the devil full throttle. I'm just satisfied that that's the case. And so the Scripture says, lead us. Lead us. And so I say, amen, that ask the Lord to lead us. But then, why should we pray that the Lord lead us? Well, look at the rest of the phrase. The Bible declares in verse 13, lead us, look at the phrase, not into temptation. Lead us not into temptation. Let me give you a verse, give you some background. James 1:13, let no man say when he is tempted, I'm tempted of God. I've heard people say that before. I've heard people testify, well, God tempted me. Well, if you're talking about a trial, I'll let that pass carefully. But if you're talking about a solicitation to sin, you better check your doctrine, because that's not right. It ain't the way it works. You see, the Lord said, let no man say I'm tempted of God. He said, for God cannot be tempted with evil. By the way, that puts to rest the whole thing of could Jesus have sinned. Put to rest in James 1. Of course he could not have. The Bible says God cannot be tempted with evil. And then he makes a very bold statement. Neither tempteth he any man. If you'll understand, Job was not tempted by the Lord. He was tried by the Lord. He was tempted by the devil. God allowed it, but he was not the source of the temptation. The devil was. The Scripture says in verse 14, here's some more commentary on what we already know. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away, where? Of his own lust, and look at what the Scripture says, and enticed. How does that work, preacher? Well, it's very simple. Verse 15, then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. And then he says, do not err, my beloved brethren, drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Now, I won't claim originality to all of this phrase, but I enriched it. I read a fellow who said, we're living in a perilous world. And I added to that phrase, a perilous world of flaming passions. We live in a perilous world of flaming passions, and we, the believer, are made of highly flammable material. And you better stay away from the fire. Is that right? You better know that's right. And don't you for one minute think you're bigger than that or above that. By the grace of God. Matter of fact, I'm hearing more older men falling than young men these days. Don't you think you've come too far? Don't you think you've got too much wind in your sail and you got too much victory in your life? Don't you believe that for a second. That seems to be the ones he's going after. That seems to be the ones that's having the worst time. And so because that we live in a world of flaming passions and we are made of highly flammable material, the Lord urged us to ask God to lead us in paths to keep us out of the way of temptation. So let me do a quick definition. God tests us. The words can be used interchangeably, temptation. God tests us, but I want you to make it very clear that Satan tempts us, and there's a difference. One is a trial, the other is a solicitation to sin, and God tempts no man. And so, acquire the pathway of our Father. Imagine walking through a hot bed of volcanic spewing. I know where one's at. You can pay, I wouldn't do it, but you can pay to walk through an active volcano. It scares me that even go down there. I did go down there. But I wasn't about to walk out there. Because you never know when there's going to be a little tilt on this old earth or going to be an earthquake or something, and that rascal's going to blow sky high. If it's running lava all the time, what makes you think that it ain't fixing to blow up? I mean, you'd be toast. Stink like sulfur going down in there. And, I mean, there's hot, bubbling pools of lava right there at you beside you. And you walk this trail around and, oh, yeah, I ain't going down there. I ain't going in that. But there's a whole lot of people, they want to see how close they can get to it. You know what I'm saying? On the Weather Channel, I saw this fellow with this burn-proof suit on, walking up to the edge of a volcano, looking off in it. And I thought, either that thing went off and you was up there for some other reason, or you're dumb. If you put that suit on and went up on an active volcano and you looked off in that hole, you're crazy, man. What is your problem? Why, you ain't got no business being that close to that thing. That's craziness. Well, I want you to understand that this whole world's like a flaming volcano and bubbling cauldrons of you know what I'm talking about? A flaming desire and passions. And here we are trying to navigate this little trail called life. And we ain't wearing flame retardant baby pajamas. No, sir. We're wearing highly flammable kerosene soaked clothes. And the last thing we need is get too close to the flame, lest it ignite. And so the Lord instructed us to acquire the pathway of our Father. In the latter part of verse number 13, something similar and yet different. Why would he have said it if the first one covered it? So it seems redundant at first glance, but it's not, because he separated the two thoughts. So lead us, not into temptation, the pathway, but then specifically a phrase, deliver us from evil. And so to ask for the protection of our Father. We have a standard rule. I don't know if I guess I did it. I scared to death. First time I ever got on an airplane, and first time I ever went anywhere, and I when they'd roll that thing out, when they come up there to the runway and it's next is our turn. When they stop and they wait to get you on the runway, I always pray. And I always conclude when I pray, Lord, protect the pilot, protect the passengers. Lord, may we arrive safe on the other side of destination. Plead the blood over the aircraft, plead the blood over the pilots, over the passengers. Lord, may we arrive safely on the other side. And they'll pull out and line up, and then boom, here we go. Every time we fly in a little airplane, don't ever take off what we don't pray over in a little airplane. Same thing, pray over it. Head out on a trip, we always pray before we head on a trip. You know, if we're going to go on a long trip, I always pray, Lord, protect us, Lord, help us, Lord, protect the vehicle, and Lord, help us. But you know, when we run to the store to get a loaf of bread, we generally don't pray over that one. Did you know more people get killed within 5 miles of your house than anywhere else? You're more apt to get killed within 5 miles of your house. Did you know that? Did you know that you're more apt to get, listen, you are more apt to get killed in your car than you would be ever in an airplane. Airplane crashes make the news because multiple people die in them. And after 100 years, it's a big thing when an airplane crashes. What if we had live coverage of every car crash that occurred in West North Carolina today? What if at the 6 o'clock news, we had live coverage of every single car crash in West North Carolina? The 6 o'clock news would last to 9 o'clock at night, just covering car wrecks. Matter of fact, the only ones they cover now is the ones that somebody gets killed in. It's the only time they even mention it. And even then, they don't give it a whole lot of attention. They got to where they don't even hardly go out on car wrecks and take pictures. They just show traffic accident, I-26, so-and-so cars, and they give about 10 seconds to it and move on. You let an aircraft fall in the middle of the interstate and kill the pilot, that's front page. That's lead story, live, lights, camera, action, the whole thing. But there's a whole lot more people who get killed in car wrecks, and we don't even hear about it up and down the roads in our area than in airplanes. I want you to say the same thing is true, that we pray, deliver us. Deliver us. And we do that through petition. You be as safe as you can. You don't drive your car. You know, I've had to pray my way back and forth to work before. I've had tires so thin they were Bald Eagle Maypop brand, and you know, I've had them so thin you could see the air in them. You know, I mean, and pray to get to work, pray to get home. I mean, I drove one. You ever heard? Run it, the wheels fall off. I had a wheel fall off. It broke the shaft and the wheel run off and knocked an underpinning out from under a trailer. Yeah, that happened. That was the truth. It did. It happened. I've had some real deals. Transportation's always been a deal for me, and I have ridden on prayer. Matter of fact, Brother Blanton, that's the only way he knew how to truck was by prayer, and going around the scales late at night. That's the only way he knew to drive. And that's you know, I said, you know, ignorance is bliss, brother. But once you know better, and once you can do better, we got to quit that stuff. You know, it's hard to. Yeah, we will one of these days. Once you know better, once you can do better, hey, there's time. You're doing the best you can. But deliver us. Deliver us. But not just the protection of our Father through petition, but protection of our Father from perdition. The word evil here, deliver us from evil, the word evil here, the way it's constructed, it has the idea of not just evil things, but evil itself. So who is evil itself? The evil one. And so we can imply, I'm not saying it's saying that, I'm saying that the implication is there, that God deliver us from the devil. I think about when God has allowed perdition to be loosed on lives of men. I think about poor old Job and the book of Job. That's what happens when Satan goes after us. I thought about boastful Peter in Luke 22. The Lord hath desired to sift thee, but the Lord said, but I've prayed for you. But I've prayed for you. So apparently he didn't get the sifting that the devil was wanting for him, because the Lord said, I've prayed for you. Okay? And then I think about Paul's affliction. And we're not sure, but it looks like bad eyes, but we're not certain. But we know it was a thorn in the flesh. It's called a messenger of Satan. The word messenger is the word, we get our word from angel. It's the word angel, angelos. And the word angelos means a messenger. The messenger of Satan. I don't know if the devil himself was assigned to he took it on personally to chase, aggravate Paul, or whether he just assigned a demon to do it. Remember the demons that they, the sons of Sceva, remember that? And said it, the Jewish boys trying to cast out demons in Jesus whom Paul preacheth. And the demon said, Jesus we know. And then they said, Paul we know. But who are you? In other words, who are you to be telling us to do anything? They jumped on them and beat the fire out of them. That's what the Bible says. Beat the devil out of them and beat the devil into them. And so what I'm trying to say is that Paul had an affliction. Don't know exactly what it was. It was ever active, apparently. Paul begged the Lord to take it away. But every time, God said his grace was sufficient. And so I don't know exactly all I understand. I don't understand all I know about it. But I just know this. You're no match. I'm no match. When, this may be juvenile for me to think and pray in these terms. Because I know the Bible says the spirit and the power of the air. I know that. The prince and the power of the air. I know the devil has that dominion. But I remember praying one time. God put a seal over the ground to seal out the lower part of the earth. And God, would you bless everything between these tent stakes? And God, would you fill everything, and would you open a direct line between here and the third heaven? And the next thing I know, I was on the top of that tent. And about an hour had passed. I thought how orange the sky was. And it was actually that tent. And I don't know yet how I got up that thing, and I know how I got down very carefully, but I don't know how I got up it. I don't know. Nobody else paid no attention neither. I tell you, God came. And during Sherathon, I'd pray, God, put a seal around that. Lord, deliver us from evil. Lord, put a seal from corner post to corner post of these 10 acres. And then, Lord, hedge it about. Keep the devil out. Keep the world, the flesh, and the devil at bay. And God, open a direct channel to the third heaven and visit with us. Amen. And he did. Yes, he did. Not because of my prayer, but he did do it. And he did do it again and again and again. He did do it. And so I believe that we are well in order to pray, deliver us, and then to pray that prayer of petition, that protection through petition, but then that protection from perdition. The Bible says, deliver us from evil. And finally, I'd like to recap these and then I'll come to the final point. Verse number 9, our Father which art in heaven, the appreciation of the person of our Father. Verse number 10 of Matthew 6, the attention to the purpose of our Father. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Chapter 6, verse number 11, give us this day our daily bread and the acquisition of the provisions of our Father. Verse number 12, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors, the acquittal through the pardon of our Father. Verse number 13, the first part, lead us not into temptation to acquire the pathway of our Father. And then the second part, we ask for protection of our Father. The Bible says, deliver us from evil. But then I want to close with the acknowledgement of the power of our Father. Look what verse number 13 and the latter part says. The scripture says, thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory. What's all that about, preacher? Well, can I just say this? The world either denies or defies that God has a kingdom. The world either denies or defies that God has power. And the world either denies or defies that God gets all the glory. But it's true. And so this last little phrase is one of praise. Now, immediately when you say praise in a Baptist church, everybody locks up on you. But I want you to understand that we are to acknowledge the power of our Father in praise. I try to tell our Bible college, I said, boys, be careful. Make sure that you under-promise and over-perform. Because we live in a day of over-promises and under-performance of those promises. Well, can I tell you that praise in these days is over-promised and under-performed? People say, we're going to have a praise service. How do you know? How are you going to know you have a praise service? You'll know when it's over, but I don't know if you'll know between then and then. You might set out for it to be that, but you're liable to get old Aunt so-and-so come in and she's mad at somebody else, and that thing's liable to be, instead of a camp meeting, liable to be a cramp meeting. I mean, it's liable to be locked down, son, tight as a G-string on a banjo. I'm talking about, listen, I've went in places that I could, I've preached in some churches, I had better liberty in prison. I've preached in several jails. I preached in a jail one night and these two old black boys got thrown in for public drunkenness. They was about half sobered up. And I got in there to preach it and they was locked up. They couldn't go nowhere. They got thrown in there. And I cut down and it was hard. Man, it's always hard preaching jail. It was always hard. You get no help. It's just hard. People laugh at you, spit at you. It's always hard. And I heard somebody go, yeah. And I went on a little further. He said, mm-hmm. Well, a little further, he said, that's right, preacher, that's right. Son, before I knew it, I had them both up on the front bench. Now, they smelled rough. They smelled like they was pickled owls, man, but they was getting into the preaching. I will say, we had a good time. We did. Me and two drunk guys, we had a good time. And, they probably deacons somewhere, you know. And so we had a good time. And, you know the difference between the Presbyterians and the Baptists, don't you? The Presbyterians will speak to you in the liquor store. Baptists won't. They won't speak to each other in the liquor store. But Presbyterians will. Praising these days is overpromised and underperformed. I'd just like to go see if I get my money's worth some of these places. We're going to have a praise and worship service. Well, I'm all for that, son. Let's do it. Get in there, and that ain't what they did at all. Put on a little show and had a little deal and read a couple of poems and went to the house. Yeah. I could have got more out of that, I believe, of watching Marvin Povich or somebody. I mean, it just wasn't much to it, you know. And watching Dr. Field, I mean, I believe he's got more than that, you know, than what goes on in some of these places. But let me say this, and I'm with all seriousness, there is a kingdom. It's right around the corner, too. Everybody's all tore up over the elections and all tore up over all the things and all tore up the Supreme Court. That's all fine and good, but it's temporary, church. Listen to me. It's all temporary. All of these things that's going, it's just temporary. Good or bad, it's just temporary. Don't get too tore out of the frame if it's good, because it's just temporary. It's going to get better. But don't get too tore out of the frame if it's bad, because it's just temporary. God's going to renovate it. You believe that? If you're a Bible believer, you believe it. Because it's going to happen. Thine is the kingdom. And we could infer, because he says, and the power, that's a polysyndeton, because he's using the word repetition of the word and, so we can reach over and get thine is the power. There's a lot of political power, there's nuclear power, there's all kind of power, there's solar power. But friend, you ain't never seen the power of God. Ain't nothing like it. It created worlds. And when the power of God speaks, friend, all of these issues are going to be fixed instantly. You see, God created this thing by fiat. And the word fiat means God spoke by decree. God decreed, and it was. Everything till he got down to man. And God didn't say, let there be man. And man just, bloop. He didn't. Peacocks and everything on earth did that. Just bloop, there it was. But God didn't do that. Man was a hands-on project. And God touched man different than all. That's what makes us different. That's why we're not part of the animal kingdom. We're part of the human kingdom. But I want you to understand that if God can create it by his word and the word of his power, don't you reckon he can fix it by the word of his power? You better know he can. The Bible says, thine is the kingdom. And we could say, thine is the power. And we could say, thine is the glory. A lot of people taking a lot of glory right now. It's election time. Everybody's trying to say, oh, well, I did this and I've done that. And man, look at me, what I've done. And I'm amazed how good a Christian everybody gets at election time. Man, I'm telling you. I'm amazed at how good a Christian everybody is. And I mean, I didn't realize we had so much in common with these guys. Son. Oh, man, they saints. I just want you to know they are saints, I'm telling you. For everyone I've talked, we got a whole slate of saints running. I mean, you can't go wrong. They're all saints. Listen, I'm telling you, it's amazing how good of Christians they are. But the problem is, after the election, that tends to go away, and you find out what you really got. But let me tell you that, There is a time that God's glory is going to be manifest. And so the Bible tells us, acknowledge the power of our Father, and we do so first of all in praise. Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory. And then he says this, not only the power of our Father in praise, but the power of our Father and its permanence. He says, thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory. And he says this phrase, forever.
Amen.
World without end, Ephesians said. Amen. Forever. Thine is the kingdom forever. Thine is the kingdom, thine is the power, thine is the glory. Forever. To think of it in terms of God's permanence. And I'm glad, hallelujah, there's a lot of things change. But I'm glad he's never changed. And I'm glad that he's not going to change. And I'm glad that we have access to a never-changing God. The person of our Father, the purpose of our Father, the provisions of our Father, the pardon of our Father, the pathway of our Father, the protection of our Father, and the power of our Father forever.
Amen.
And we could say, and ever, and ever, and ever, and ever, and ever, and ever. A world without end. Three fellows got together and wrote a song. And they said these words. They said, great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. But in the verse they said, great is thy faithfulness, O God my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not. Thy compassions, they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever will be. Stand with me and let's sing it. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Morning time, morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord.